go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up. Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 126 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the People's Degenerate. Sucking lollipops is where we're going to start this episode of Verbal Graffiti. What were you doing last night, B-Man? I was doing what I just pronounced. I was sucking a lollipop. It was actually, to be more specific, I was sucking and sucking ferociously with intent, with purpose, a generic blueberry, a blueberry flavor blow pop, but it was a generic brand. I don't know the name. There's this place we do stand up, Dangles in New Haven. I say have some of the best wings. I've given them free advertisements in prior episodes. But one of the things they have there is they have a candy bowl, and sometimes they'll have lollipops. And I took one because I am a cheap fuck. I do not buy beer there. I take the free candy out of the jar. Like I am a 9-year-old child. But again, you know, watching, taking in this project that is Verbal Graffiti, that I have the humor, the personality, the traits of a 9-year-old boy, other than being able to fall out of a tree without breaking bones. But that is beside the point. Anyway, so I'm there. And we're doing comedy, stand-up comedy, that is. And I'm just there maybe a half hour before the shindig goes down, and I'm just sucking on this lollipop, chopping it up with a few of the comics, and another comic, Dame FK, came in, comic, very funny guy, comes in, and he goes, B-Man, what are you, and I was wearing a vest, yeah, I had a t-shirt with a vest over it. He goes, first of all, I like the vest, but I love the lollipop, and I'm sucking the lollipop, and I didn't even, you know, I wasn't trying to make a statement with the lollipop. I enjoy lollipops. They're fun to suck. I know that's all right. This is the thing. I was sucking on this generic brand, a blueberry flavored lollipop, and I do know because I've done this before. When you're sucking on a lollipop in public as a grown man, middle age, 40 years of age or older, and your boys, your pals, your comic friends are seeing you for the first time sucking a lollipop, they're going to make a joke about you being gay, homosexual, a very sophomoric joke. But I don't give a fuck because I love sucking lollipops. I'll admit it. The B-Man right here, right now, I am making this proclamation. I love sucking lollipops, especially blow pops. And if you're going to call me a slur for doing so, whatever you say bounces off of me and sticks to you. What is that? That whatever child phrase that is. Anyways, so I'm sucking it, and Dame FK goes, we gotta bring back lollipops. And a few other comics make a few jokes again about me, you know, sucking something in my mouth. Boo, 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 boo. You know, oh, you're sucking dick. No, I'm not sucking dick. I'm sucking a piece of candy, and I enjoy sucking it. And yeah. And well, there's something in the man's mind where he thinks, well, if you like sucking a lollipop, that means like that is a stepping stone to sucking dick. And to that I say, no, it's not. No, it's not. Now, if penis tasted, if your cum, if you hawked a dick loogie and your cum tasted like artificial flavored cherry, maybe I would suck your penis, but it doesn't, right? That's why I don't suck your penis. I suck a lollipop because it does have that 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 it fills my palate. My tongue likes the taste of artificial flavoring. That's probably going to give me cancer a few years from now. But that's a trade you have to make. But what I'm trying to get at here is that after all my buddies, my pals, you know, they joked around about me, you know, sucking in public, immediately they all asked me, where do you get that? Where did you get that lollipop? Can I have one? Very similar to, you know, if you smoke a cigarette. Oh, can I have one? And they immediately went from bagging on me for having the audacity, for having being brave enough to suck something in public and enjoy doing so, to 180. Hey, can I have one? Where did you get that? And that, in that moment, last night, I realized the B-man. It was just an aha moment. Oh, sucking lollipops or just having a lollipop in public is a display of confidence. You give off such aura, being comfortable with yourself as a man, to suck a lollipop and enjoy it like you're a 9-year-old child on his birthday with a balloon in his other hand and just sucking on it. There's something about that I didn't even know. Like, I was so confident in myself and who I am as a person that I didn't realize that sucking lollipops is a display of confidence, having that riz, whatever the fuck that means. Like, I did not realize that till all the other guys, like, I saw them turn, and they were like, I want one. Mommy, Daddy, can I have a lollipop? No, I took the last one in there, so you just gotta have the regular Jolly Ranchers. But yeah, I was sucking that lollipop, and there is a certain percentage of guys who are homophobic who won't even dare shove anything in their mouth in public, whether something, a banana, as we spoke about, a lollipop, because they don't even want something that looks or resembles a penis in their mouth. I don't give a fuck. I do not give a fuck. Love all. If there's a lollipop out there shaped like a penis and it's artificial cherry flavored, yeah, I'm going to suck the fuck out of it. And I don't care if there are people looking at me, because to me, that's a lollipop, not a penis. And the great thing about the lollipop and whatever, if you're doing the blow pop, the little ones, whatever type of lollipop you have, as long as you can fit it in your mouth in one suck, those big carnival ones where you gotta, I don't like those. Like, that will give you a cramp on the tongue. But just a regular, just a chill, hanging in the back table, watching other people do comedy or watching other people drink or watching a movie or whatever, and just, you know, being able to take it in, out, and pace yourself with the lollipop. That's why the lollipop may be the superior candy of all the candies out there in the world, because you don't feel like a piece of shit after sucking a lollipop. Because we all know, if you have a bag of M&M's, Skittles, a Snickers king size bar, like, if you eat the entire bag of Skittles, you hate yourself. Because you just know, you just downed like 2,000 calories of empty sugar calories, and you get sick, and you're disgusted with yourself, and you hate yourself for the next 48 hours. But a lollipop, you can keep putting it in and out of your mouth, sucking it at whatever pace, and when you're done with it, it was only one lollipop. It was just one blow pop. So maybe you were eating that or sucking that for 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes, if you're a slow, not intense sucker. And when you're done with it, you toss the wrapper out in the little stick, and then you don't feel bad about yourself because you only had one lollipop. And that's what makes the lollipop a superior candy, because you can have one, it lasts you a long time, and when you're done with sucking it, and it all dissolves in your mouth and goes down your throat into your belly, You go about the rest of your day not hating yourself. And you cannot say that. There are not, actually, I should say, there are not many candies where that is the case, where you can walk away after finishing it and not be down on yourself and for giving in to that temptation of that sugar tooth that you may possess. And I don't even have a sugar tooth. I just like the motion of just sucking a lollipop. Because wow, I did not expect that we'd be going this in-depth into me trying to defend why I like lollipops. But this, it's not just the taste. It's not just the motion. It's that. It's everything. It's, you're not just having a candy with a lollipop. There's an action that goes along with it, unlike a Skittle. A Skittle, you throw it in your mouth, you chew it, maybe you let it soften a little bit, and then you swallow it. But with a lollipop, you put it in, you wipe it all around, you do several types of licks, but you're being active. And you're consuming at the same time. We are pro lollipop sucking here at Verbal Graffiti. And, you know, I was always a Skittle guy. And we just peanut butter cup. Those were my two. And Junior Mints. And I don't even know if Junior Mints, I don't know if I would put Junior Mints in the candy category. I put that more into a breath mint category. Although I do consume Junior Mints as a candy, although I don't think many people even eat Junior Mints anymore, because we're going to stay off Junior Mints, stay on the lollipop. But the lollipop, it's an activity. Yeah, eating Skittles, a Reese's peanut butter cup, any whatever your candy is, you're eating it. But a lollipop, you're not just eating it. It's an activity that you're partaking in while also eating it. That's why I am changing my stance from going from Reese's peanut butter cups and Skittles, the purple bag Skittles, not sure what you call those ones. Yeah, but those used to be my go-to candies. But I have now just convinced myself in these 11-minute opening that I'm doing on lollipops that the lollipop is the number one candy. Now, whatever brand, now whatever type of lollipop, you know, we can argue. I'm open-minded because I just went from Reese's peanut butter cup to Blow Pop. But whatever lollipop you think is the best, let me know down in the comments. No one ever does because hardly anybody watches this on YouTube. We have new episodes every Monday and Thursday. But if you are listening, I hope, or watching, I hope to hear from you down in the comments, and I will respond because I hardly get any comments. And anytime I do get comments, I do respond. All right, let's keep it moving. There is a reason why I wore this New York Yankee Bernie Williams jersey replica is because this first topic has to do with New York City. I'll put the photo right here. Which New York City did you grow up in? I grew up in the middle. That's the one without the Twin Towers or the Freedom Tower, which has always been weird to me. It's strange thinking I grew up in a 12-year gap where our only icon was the Empire State Building, with that feeling in the air of 9/11 being a recent event and hearing complaints that the Freedom Tower wasn't up yet. So I just wanted to hear from anyone older or younger, I am older, which NYC did you grow up in and what was it like? Well, first of all, I have a complaint. Empire State Building, really? Really? The Chrysler Building. That is the peak architectural building in New York City. It's Chrysler Building. It is right here. And then every other building, including the Freedom Tower, is down here. And they're all good, but the Chrysler Building is the peak building. Now, of the three, I did not grow up in New York City. I grew up in Connecticut. And to be honest with you, I was 11th grade when the towers went down because of those planes. All right, let's just get into it, right? Did planes hit the towers? Yes, they did. But there were explosives that made those towers collapse in on itself. Now, but we'll get to that. And this is not a conspiracy theory podcast. I was thinking after I read this post of the three. So, like, I grew up with the Twin Towers. I'll be honest, I did not know what the Twin Towers were until they collapsed. Like, the 9/11, our teachers were like, well, the Twin Towers collapsed. First response was, do we get to go home now? And then, which we didn't. We had to do the whole day of school, which is complete bullshit. And then the second thought, for me anyway, was, what are the Twin Towers? And then, obviously, after school, oh, those are the Twin Towers. That's how in my own world I was. But I bring this all up. Of the three, I think the Freedom Tower is the best skyline of the three. And who knows about the future and, you know, far, far in the past before the Twin Towers and the Freedom Tower. But I bring this up and I say this because the Twin Towers were an eyesore for the island of Manhattan. Those towers, they were so bland and boring. And if not for 9/11 and the tragic events of that morning, if those Twin Towers were still there, I think we'd be talking about those towers needing to be torn down without anybody in them, all right? Because I am a humanitarian, and I do believe that there were explosives in that building that caused the collapse of them. It was not the planes. But again, this is not a conspiracy theory podcast. And I do not have enough battery in my camera to do a 10-hour deposition on what was going down that morning on the island of Manhattan and the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. But what I'm saying, those buildings are ugly. They're so bland. They were just these two ugly gray Tetris blocks made of asbestos. The occupancy rate in those buildings at that time, 9/11, that is, was under 50%, I believe. I think Larry Silverstein might have bought insurance policy on them, I think, months before. Okay, this is not a conspiracy theory podcast. What I'm getting at, they were just ugly buildings, right? They're just two straight towers. There's nothing about those Twin Towers that was inspirational. When people travel from all around the world to come visit New York City pre-9/11, they didn't do so to go to downtown Manhattan and look at the Twin Towers. Like this poster said, maybe the Empire State Building, of course the Chrysler Building, Broadway, the museums, Times Square, West Village, everywhere. But the Twin Towers, Statue of Liberty, Brooklyn Bridge, also an overrated bridge. I'm more of a stay on. All I'm saying, there's a lot of architecture in New York City that you can come from all around the world to New York City to admire, to witness with your eyes. The Twin Towers were not one of them. Like, if we were to make a list, right, the Empire State Building, the Chrysler Building, all the pre-World War II buildings, the brownstones. If you're there today, right, post 9/11, if you go down to Chelsea, all those glass towers with like the weird things that stick out, you go, how does that even stay upright? Those are some impressive buildings that you might travel to want to see with your eyes. And there are buildings. The high tower skyscrapers all around the world, Dubai, Singapore, Hong Kong, all those Eastern countries are cities, metropolitan areas. But if those Twin Towers were still here today, if 9/11 didn't happen, the Twin Towers would pale in comparison to all the modern skyscrapers that have been erected since 9/11. Those towers would look prehistoric. They're just ugly, gray, just cold. It just boom, straight. And if there weren't two of them, there's nothing impressive about those towers built, and they weren't even long lasting either. For some reason, I thought the Twin Towers were there for like hundreds of years. Nope. The Twin Towers were built in 1973, I believe. So they stood there for, I don't know, like less than 40 years, if my math is correct. And like, all I'm saying is it's a good thing that those buildings collapsed. What is tragic, though, is that there were people inside of it. Now, what I would, as a humanitarian, as a lover that the B-Man is, of all people, of all ethnicities, of all races, of all genders, especially the babes, I would have liked those buildings to be vacant. And to have an actual controlled demolition, like every other building that's collapsed like that. I have the buildings empty, controlled demolition, so nobody dies and no firefighters get cancer, and then build the Freedom Tower, which onto the Freedom Tower. And let me just reiterate that I wanted the Twin Towers to collapse while vacant, a controlled demolition with nobody inside of those buildings. Nobody inside of those buildings. So, but the Freedom Tower, it makes me a little chubby, but it doesn't give me anything more than a semi. That's what I'll say about the Freedom Tower in Lower Manhattan, is it gives me a chubby, but does not give me a semi hard on. And that's all I can say about it. I want more, but it does give me something. So you got to give it that. I will, if you go there at night, especially on a fall evening and you're within a few blocks, it does glisten and glow. And there is a magnetism to it. But the rest of the time, it's there. I want more from the Freedom Tower. Like the glass, the turning, with the lights in it at night. Like, yeah, it is something to be seen. But the thing that always bothers me about the Freedom Tower is the pointer on the top of the Freedom Tower. That's cheating, right? Like whatever height it is, they put that little point thing to add, I don't know how many hundreds of feet. To me, that's cheating. That's very similar to when you're playing high school basketball or whatever basketball team, and it's the first day, and they're doing everybody's measurements, so you get on your tippy toes, or you wear two or three pairs of socks to try to add an inch or two to your height. That's what the Freedom Tower is doing with that little pole thing on the very top. You're playing with the metrics. I see what you're doing, and I can't respect you when you're fugazing the height number. And I do want to see more out of the Freedom Tower. And when I say out of the Freedom Tower, I mean out of the Freedom Tower. Like, I want the very top, I want there to be bungee jumping, or maybe some type of base jumping, or have a roller coaster like the ones they have in Vegas, and have, yeah, roller coasters going all the way around the very top. And what's the one they have in Disney where you go up and then you just drop 100 floors? And I want there to be a hang glider that goes from that little tip of that pole on top of the Freedom Tower that go, you hang glide from there to the Statue of Liberty. Like, I want there to be an amusement park on the top of the Freedom Tower. Now, I will not attend that amusement park because I have a deathly fear of heights, so I will not go up there, but I would like to watch crazy people up there doing those crazy activities, those adrenaline junkies. But it's a wasted opportunity. And in this economy where everyone's talking the economy, how are we going to tariffs, all this? Put an amusement park on the top of the Freedom Tower. That's how New York City can make some more money. So of the three, I actually think you might have been better off being in the middle. That in between, the middle child, without the Twin Towers, those ugly, just eyesore buildings, and pre-Freedom Tower being built. All the buildings being built in New York City, by the way, are just kind of all just weird eyesores. Like all those pencil dick towers being built around Central Park. Like, what the fuck are those? Can we have real shape buildings? Anyways, yeah, so that's my take on 9/11. I completely shit on the Twin Towers. They were completely overrated buildings. We're fortunate that those buildings are no longer there. But we are unfortunate that there were people inside those buildings when they did collapse. I hope that makes sense to all of you. And it does to me. Go New York Yankees. That is a tragedy of New York City architecture, is that the Yankee Stadium was torn down. And that makes me more heartbroken than the Twin Towers being torn down. Yankee Stadium 3 with the overhang, that was an architectural masterpiece in New York City, in the Bronx. We miss that stadium very much here at Verbal Graffiti. RIP to Yankee Stadium. And George Steinbrenner, even though he was the mastermind of the new Yankee Stadium. But anyways, let's go look at some photos right now. Episode 126, segment 2. I'm begging you, please share an episode or a reel that I make of Verbal Graffiti with anybody you know that has the confidence and the bravado to suck on a lollipop in public. And that includes the B-Man. I will be sucking those lollipops with you. I have transitioned now that I do some more reflection on my sucking of lollipops. I was always a blow pop guy as a child, but I don't like chewing gum anymore. And chewing gum is an adolescent activity. So once you have your sweet 16th birthday party, I believe I make the rule that you should put away the blow pops and turn to the Tootsie Roll pop. How many licks does it take to get to the bottom or the center of a Tootsie Roll pop? If you're old enough, you know what that commercial is with the owl. But yeah, I actually, the flavor of the blow pops, the artificial flavor is more tasty, but the Tootsie Roll pop, you can eat it all and you don't get that gum that gets super hard after 5 or 6 bites. So I am now, as an adult, as a middle-aged man, I am pro Tootsie Roll pop over a blow pop, because that is it. Blow pops are for children, says the guy who collects baseball cards still. Now that we're on the topic of candy and food, I have to make a confession. The B-Man, this past week, I was eating a muffin in public, a blueberry muffin, that is. And I gotta admit, like, eating a muffin in public, or even private for that matter, as a grown adult is pathetic. There's nothing. When I see somebody, even myself, as I was eating that muffin, I was giving in to the temptation. The belly was gargling. I was craving empty calories that would do nothing to build a muscle and mass and to make me a healthier person. I gave in to those empty calories, that taste, the Dunkin' with the sprinkle, the sugar sprinkles on top. And I gave in. Then I was on some park bench in New Haven when I should have been working, and I was just eating this muffin. And even in the moment, as I was doing so, I was like, what the fuck are you doing, B-Man? Like, you're an adult. Like, what? Have a real meal, a muffin. If it's anything other than a full-grain muffin that I assume is healthy for you, like, you've given up on life. You've given up on your health. You've given in to temptation. You've given in to empty calories. You've given up on living a into your elderly age, healthy, spry, still being able to walk without a walker or a wheelchair or without a cane. Like eating a muffin is a display of a lack of willpower. That's what it is. When you're just and you swallow the blueberry muffin or whatever flavor it is, muffin, you have such a lack of willpower and respect for the body that your body is your temple, and to be filling it with fucking a blueberry muffin from Dunkin', disgraceful. And I hate myself more than any of you could hate me for eating that muffin. In that moment, if you're eating a muffin, especially as a man in public, you deserve to get kicked in the nuts by a hobo. If I was eating, while I was eating that muffin, if a hobo in New Haven had kicked me in the nuts, I would have been angry at the moment. But afterwards, I would have reflected and go, you know what? B-Man, you deserved that nut kick. That hobo was doing you a service. Still not gonna give him a couple dollars, though, because I don't give hobos money anymore. I'll have conversation with you, but money? You ain't getting my money, because we're yet to make money here at Verbal Graffiti, as I say almost every episode. But, yeah, I am pro-sucking lollipops, anti-eating muffins. As an adult, is that consistent? All right, is that what's the term? Is that being a hypocrite? Is the B-Man? Am I hypocritical with that stance? I feel as though I am, but let's be honest, we're all hypocrites. If you ain't a hypocrite, you ain't living. Let's keep it moving along. Too much about muffins and lollipops. All right, this comes from. Something, actually, I know a lot about this one. We'll get into that. This comes from the subreddit, Security Guards. Not allowed a stool during a 9-hour shift. As stated, my employer is not allowing me to use a stool for my 9-hour shift. I have some blood flow issues in my feet, and I stand for too long. It gets very painful. Is it normal not to be permitted to bring a stool or something? ? Yes, it is normal. Yes, it is normal not to have a stool. But also, George Costanza was absolutely within reason and correct to give the security guard at the bank a rocking chair to use during his shift. That was an episode of Seinfeld back in the day, in the 90s, or maybe the early 2000s. Yeah, definitely in the 90s. Anyways, I completely agree that it is ridiculous that your employer will not give you a stool. Now, I also think that security guards is a job that should no longer be a job. We have cameras. We have sensor systems. Any place that has real money, a security guard is just a facade. I know this because I was a security guard at Mohegan Sun while I was in college. And let me tell you, and I will tell you, they're having to stand up for a 9-hour shift, which I had to do many times at Mohegan Sun without a stool or anything to rest against. That is worse than being waterboarded. Being a security guard and standing for 9 hours, that is cruel and unusual punishment. Try standing. All right, try standing for an hour. Just stand up straight. That's what I had to do. When I worked at Mohegan Sun, I'd work 8-hour shifts, sometimes longer. You'd spend 2 hours in one spot, and then there would be a rotation. And you go, like, all the security guards would move to a different spot in the casino. So there were times where some of the 2-hour shifts that you would have to walk around an area. And that was much more preferable than the standing locations. Because walking is fine. But when you have to stand in one location or one, like, small area for 2+ hours. The lower back is aching, the strain in the knees, the ankles start to swell, the toes get numb. You're doing anything to keep your body from getting stiff. It really does a disservice to being a security guard, because to be a security guard, at least I believe, you want to be able, like, you want to be limber, right? You want to, obviously, security guards, you know, they're dressed in black. They're wearing sneakers that are kind of blocky because security guards don't get paid a lot, so they can't afford like super nice Nikes or whatever the trendy like athletic shoes are. So they're always wearing like black Skechers or shoes that they get from Walmart. I was there, and like you're wearing pants. Honestly, security guards should be wearing. They should be wearing like the best running shoes. They should be wearing like leggings, dry fit tops. They should be allowed to stretch every like 15, 20 minutes to stay limber in case a robber comes in. They should be allowed to wear AirPods to get themselves jazzed up if they have to chase after a bank robber. Like they should be, it's almost like they should be preparing for a track and field meet. Because, like, you know, when it's time to go, they should be able to go. But no, these security guards are having to stand up with back pain and bad blood flow. And like, it's so easy to get past a security guard because he's not or she's not in position, just anatomy wise, to chase after you and beat the fuck out of you. Saying security guards do not get enough respect. If you go to the bank, and a security guard is there, and you do whatever transaction you're doing with the teller or the manager, and as you're walking out, if you did not get robbed, if there was not a stick up while you were there at the bank, if you're a lady and it's a male security guard, you should slob on his knob and you should let him glaze on your face. And yes, I will say, if it's a female security officer at that bank, when the B-man, when I'm leaving, if I'm not, hey, hands up, everybody down, on the ground now, let's get in the vault. If that doesn't happen, I will lick between the slit of her legs. I have not. I will start doing so from now on, because that's the tip. They don't deserve a $5 tip. They deserve to get oral. I don't care if she's been standing 6 hours and she's got that stank puss and all the pubic hair and, you know, she's 47 years old and, you know, her legs aren't shaved. Yeah, you kept me safe while I put my money in the bank that they steal from me. So, yeah, I'll lick between your slit for that. Where was I going? Yeah, anyways. You absolutely deserve a stool. More so than that, you deserve a chair that has a little bit of a backrest and also like a nice little cushion underneath. Think of like maybe your grandmother's house with like a wooden stool, but it's got the back spokes, and she makes the cushion to put on the bottom for a little bit of gluteus maximus comfort. You should have that. And also, because you can use that as a weapon, all right? So when a bank robber comes in and he's running away, you can take your stool, you can just kind of throw it and use it as a tripping device. So he'll trip over it, and then you can, you know, get, I don't know, like tie him up and do whatever. And you could also, if he's close to you, you can use it as a weapon, like a WWF back in the day, WCW, and just fucking give him a head hit with the stool. So you can use it to, you know, just for your comfort and also as a weapon. I actually believe that security guards should have flamethrowers. Huh? If every security guard you ever saw had a big flamethrower, I think all those CVS and Walgreens would be staying business. I don't think there'd be as much theft, petty theft being done if there was a security guard by every exit with a flamethrower, all right? You want deodorant, or do you want to, you know, keep your skin without third-degree burns? So that's how pro security guard I am. We should have weapons that are stronger than a gun. A flamethrower. You want to steal a few? You want to steal a bundle of money? Bam, burning you to the ground. You deserve it. The security guard. That was such a terrible job. Honestly, I was talking to a security guard this weekend. I was at an art gallery. I was talking to one of the security guards. I don't know. She came up. I had a nice jacket on. She was talking to me. And I asked her, what kind of footwear do you wear? She told me Skechers. I'm like, oh, you got to get UFOs. Like, UFOs are the sneakers that are best for your feet. You're having to stand for, you know, all afternoon, all morning at this gallery. Like, you got to get better footwear. She's like, yeah, you're totally right, B-Man. I got to get some better footwear. But again, she probably only gets paid like $20 an hour. So there's like, you know, that's the problem with security. You don't get paid enough to afford the sneakers that actually give you the support you need to not be in pain while you do the security job. No, fuck your employer. You deserve a stool. And honestly, you deserve a flamethrower as well. George Costanza was correct. I hope you get out of this job and can make more money doing a job that doesn't give you, you know, pain while you have to, you know, clocked in. So I am pro verbal graffiti. We are pro. We are pro security guards. We will tip you with oral pleasure, and you deserve the stool or whatever seating arrangement you desire or you need for whatever health conditions you have. Thank you for protecting us. I and all of us here at Verbal Graffiti do appreciate your service. Let's continue reading A Salesman's Wife by the author John Lawrence. We are on the top of page 123, and you know by now, we read two pages together aloud to end the episode. Well, darling, she said happily, our dear son, Garrett, is on his way back to state. Hold on. No, sorry. We are on the top of page... All right, that was my mistake. We are on the top of page 125. Again, two pages together aloud. Stay away from me, you faker, she screamed in fear. Don't you touch me. Don't touch me. Her stinging words made Carlsberg explode even further with psychotic fury. He had never allowed anyone to get the best of him. Never. And he certainly wasn't going to start now. His eyes bulged maniacally as he lunged out and grabbed her wrist, gripping it so tightly that Pamela had to cry out in pain. No! No! You little bitch! Who do you think you're talking to, huh? Some cheap two-bit guy? Is that it? I'll show you I'm not to be trifled with. You're my slave, you understand? You understand? My slave! You're hurting me, she cried. Yes, he said, gripping her wrist even more cruelly. Well, that's just the beginning. Just the beginning. Summoning all her strength, the terrified young bride struggled to free herself, but Carlsberg suddenly wrenched toward him, twisting her arm behind her back so that she winced in agony. Now, he snarled, we're going to have our final session, and believe me, it's going to be one you'll never forget. At the same moment, Alan Burns drove his small sedan into the driveway of his Seattle home. He had raced all the way, his mind still plagued with the notion that Pamela was in trouble and needed his help. Now, as he stopped in front of the garage, he wondered if his intuition had been correct or on a guilty reaction to his wild affair with Stella. He walked quickly to the house, flung open the front door. Pamela, he called. Pamela! But there was no answer. Frantically, he rushed through every room, hoping to find her, or perhaps a note explaining her absence. But there was nothing. The house was silent and implacable. Oh, God, he thought in terror. I hope nothing's happened to her. Then he remembered that she was often visited her friend Nadine a few blocks away, and he nervously dialed her number. Hello? Hello, Nadine. This is Alan Burns. Alan, she exclaimed. I thought you weren't getting back until tonight or tomorrow. I made a good time on the roads, he said. Listen, is Pamela there? Gee, no, she replied. She's probably at the doctor's. Doctor's? He said, stunned. What doctor? She's been seeing a therapist while you were gone. Go suck a fat one.